We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the DNVR Rockies podcast presented by Strava Craft Coffee. Remember to use that promo code DNVR20 because you will save 20% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I am your host, Drew Kreisman. I am the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is our Lions. And on this episode, we've got to discuss a 10-3 victory for the Colorado Rockies in a pretty great baseball game played a day after they were officially eliminated from playoff contention. But yes, as Joseph mentions here, the Colorado Rockies with the win have avoided the cellar in the NL West, will not finish in last place. So we'll discuss all of that on this episode. We'll get some thoughts from Patrick because you were not able to give your thoughts yesterday on, I kind of basically gave my autopsy RIP of the season and start looking forward a little bit. We'll get some of your big picture thoughts on this one as well. And people, especially those of you who are subscribed to the YouTube channel, will get to lock to me watching the end of the Nuggets game, whether or not their season is over or will continue. We're down to the nitty gritty here. It's going to go down to the wire. It looks like I am on the edge of my seat. I'll be straight up with you. The last couple of the innings of the Rockies game got a little bit fuzzy for me. I've been checking out this Nuggets game, but Patrick, you know, all you can go out and do when you've got a baseball game to play is try to pitch good. They didn't defend good, but pitch good, hit good. And the Rockies did that and won a baseball game today.
They did. They got a fantastic start out of Germán Márquez, which is the exact way you want to go out in your final start of the season. And he'd kind of been ramping up to this performance. Yeah, gave up three runs, none of which were earned. As you alluded to, four errors today, which were quite a lot, unfortunately. But that's okay because the Rockies defense.
Some senioritis.
Yeah. The defense has been really good, you know, all season. There's been a lot of metrics to suggest that it's been one of the better ones, especially the infield, and especially when Josh Fuentes is at first base. But nevertheless, you know, it's nice that maybe the Rockies can, I don't want to say go out on top, because at least they're not going to go out on the bottom. There we
don't
go.
Don't go How out about on that? Bottom.
No, not that there's anything wrong with being a bottom. Not that there's anything wrong with that. However, they will not finish in last place, which is nice. But as I kind of mentioned, you know, in previous podcasts, that if you're not really good at winning, you should be really good at losing. So while it will make you feel slightly better, the fact that the Rockies won't be in fifth place in the NL West, it means next year during the draft, you'll be going, really? Like, they won a game or two at the end of last season? I really would have liked to have had that sixth pick of every round here at thereafter. So careful what you wish for. But you know what? Hey, maybe this is one good thing to feel good about, since according to the rule of Barbara Kreisman, all of your teams cannot win on the same day.
Oh, no. And
that is going to be true today unless the Nuggets pull out yet another miracle.
We got 2 minutes left. Oh, LeBron just hit a dagger three. I mean, a dagger three right at the 2 minute mark. It's not over, but that hurt my soul. That hurt my gut. That hurt me on the inside. Oh, that was brutal. Oh, I'm so proud of what the Nuggets have done this year. So immensely proud of what the Denver Nuggets have managed to pull off this year. And you know what, Patrick, you're right. In the long term, this win for the Rockies may not be the best thing, but in the short term, Rockies fans get the have the right to enjoy a well-played game by the players on the field. We saw more good stuff, as you mentioned there, out of Herman Marquez. We saw more great swings out of Elias Diaz, who may have earned himself a job here in these last couple of weeks, while some people may have tuned out, and rightfully so, and these games haven't mattered as much in the big picture. They've certainly mattered to Elias Diaz. And he has taken made the most of them there. Big home run in this one that really was a momentum swinger for the Colorado Rockies. And I expect to see him around, and I expect him to fight for the starting catcher job next year for the Colorado Rockies.
He's definitely in the conversation for that. You know, it's a shame that after everything Tony Walters has done the past 3 years, that such a down year like this, and not even a full year, true, with the asterisk next to the word year, but how quickly, you know, you can kind of lose that grasp on a starting role when, you know, one of the reasons why you have it is only for half of what you are providing, because, you know, make no qualms about it. You know, Tony Walters was the starting catcher for this team because of what he has brought defensively. And now that some of these young pitchers have, you know, developed because of Tony Walters, but because of their own just general abilities and their maturity, they don't necessarily need to have Tony behind the plate to do a good job with them. So where does that, you know, place Tony Walters? What does his role become if he, you know, isn't that starting catcher? If he does get usurped here by Elias Diaz, who still has a couple years of control, Rockies did pick him up as a free agent, but it wasn't a free agent after his, you know, 6 year plus years of service time. He was let go by Pittsburgh, who, as a cost-cutting measure, you know, because he did have such a down year in 2019 defensively, you know, lacks a lot of ability, certainly isn't as, you know, talented behind the plate as a Tony Walters, but, you know, you can kind of forgive that if he's going to be swinging the bat and kind of give you those notes of and allow you to reminisce on, you know, a Willing Rosario type of bat, where when all things are going well, hey man, this is a guy you might want to be hitting sixth in your lineup.
Yeah, reminiscing on Willing Rosario is not something I'm especially inclined to do, but yeah, that has always been a tough balance at that. That's not even true, actually. That's not even an accurate statement I just said to you, Patrick Lyons. I don't go to very many gatherings. I've been at one in the last month. And the one time I was there, I met a Rockies fan who just happened to ask what I do for work, then started saying, hey, you happen to have a resemblance to Charlie Blackmon. And I had to share the story of the time that Willing Rosario had Charlie Blackmon to me. I reminisce about Willing Rosario whenever I get the opportunity to. Not necessarily on the field, though, because while he hit those, I believe it was 24 home runs his rookie season as a catcher, which was absolutely amazing, the defense was a massive problem. And we've seen that, you know, it's been one or the other for the Rockies. You either get a guy you can hit, which has only been one or two of those guys, let's be honest with it. Jeff Reed and Willing Rosario, and I think that's the end of the list. And then dudes that can catch but can't hit. And there's a long list of those guys, from Joe Girardi to Tony Walters. And, you know, Diaz, I think, has started to show to me he's not the disaster that Willing Rosario was behind the plate, or that some of these other guys who can really swing it at catcher but can't get it done. Some things I see that, you know, with an especially critical eye for catcher, that I want to see some softer hands, some quieter movements, some stuff. He's got an arm, though. I like his arm down to second. There are some other great things. He seems to be working with the pitching staff well. He seems to be working a decent game plan. And so, yeah, I mean, I think he's got to be a big part of their catching plans moving forward. And if Dom Nunez takes another step forward, you've got to take a very serious look at what, how Walters fits into your plans, with him being another year into arbitration. Now, without a good year, he's not going to make a whole lot more money. He's going to make a little bit more money. He's going to make more money than those two guys. And if Diaz and Nunez are your better tandem at a third of the cost, that may be the way to go. And I love Tony Walters. We got Dash on the Stash shirts and everything, but look, that may be the way to go.
Analysis. I'm very impressed at you dropping some arbitration knowledge there, because that absolutely is a key component. I mean, look at this past offseason when the Rockies, said goodbye to Chad Bettis and Tyler Anderson, because frankly, what they were making in arbitration, they didn't feel they were worth it. And turns out, they were right. Tyler Anderson, didn't do too much in San Francisco, and Chad Bettis ultimately, retired. So I think they were right in their evaluations of those players. But, still paying $2 million to a guy whose contributions could easily be replaced by a player who's making the league minimum, that's $1.5 million, which really is nothing to shake a stick at, and could be the difference in, a contract that you offer to one player where, we can't get him at 7, but if we increase to 8.5, he's coming to Coors Field. That's a pretty decent difference. So, that's definitely going to be a factor of the abilities of Mark Strittmatter, who's been able to, work wonders and work magic with the catching core of the Colorado Rockies. If you take a guy like an Elias Diaz, who's, he's no spring chicken. He's 29 years old. He'll be 30 next year. Right. Catchers, I was going to say age like a fine wine, but, they do take a while to mature in a lot of ways. And some of the best offensive seasons that you'll see at a player's, and by best, I mean, bordering around the top 10, are guys that were brought in just as almost like a backup catcher, who go in and they hit 15 home runs. They knock in 60 runs. Elias Diaz, can very easily be one of those guys, but, a little bit younger, a little bit cheaper, and with a few years of control left. So you very well think, there's a lot more upside to him than a Tony Walters. You mentioned the extremes where you can either hit, but you can't catch. You can catch, but you can't hit. And then there's really just been everybody else who has had good, receiving skills behind the plate, like a Nick Hundley. And, they do a good job at the plate. Again, fine. Nick Hundley.
Yeah.
But you say even in a great year, it's not going to be that much of a game changer. And Colorado's never had that kind of catching. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why they may have reached, or they may have been overly ambitious in this draft in selecting Drew Romo as high as they did, because they thought maybe this is finally the guy that we can have and can be our Buster Posey, quite possibly, or our Yadier Molina, whatever it is. So
those guys, as you just mentioned, tend not to be acquired through trade. It's a long-term gambit, man. It really is. But when teams find those guys, they tend to hang on to them. You have to grow them. But yeah, that's a tough job. I think, we could have AJ on here sometime. This would be a fun off-season thing. Have him on and talk about the similarities between hockey goalie and catcher in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And the difficulty very much that comes, because I think they're two of, like, quarterback may be among the most difficult jobs in all of professional sports, but there's so much glory and money and all the great stuff that comes from being a quarterback, where hockey goalie and baseball catcher can be such a thankless job. There can be so many things you're expected to do, and the wear and tear on your body that any normal person just can't fully comprehend. I think that would be a fascinating podcast. We got to do that at some point in the future.
We do have some folks asking what happened to Willene Rosario. Well, you might most of the people listening to this are probably thinking, well, he's at least a decade older than me. No, he's only 31 years old still. And for the past few seasons, he has been playing in Japan. Even it's been a season with the Hanwha Eagles of the KBO, one of our favorite baseball leagues, when we're going through the list of great baseball leagues in the world, KBO is up there. That's right. Well, we did a lot of good coverage of that during the beginning of this pandemic. So yeah, the baby bull, man, good memories. And yeah, Elias Diaz could be that guy in that vein, as far as, like, you know what, he might be able to deliver on some of the hype. And it was nice to see his 3-hit day. Just missed out on the cycle. He could be the solution. He could be the solution. And I'll say this for anyone who hasn't read your most recent article, Drew, I think in a lot of ways you touched on something that of what Elias Diaz is, as far as these guys that are almost placeholders that could become something much bigger. But if they're not, guess what? You didn't spend a lot on them in the first place. So I recommend, you know, anyone to check that article out that just dropped today on Saturday. Fantastic. You know, one of the best pieces I think you produced this year.
Hey, thank you. But you got to be subscribed to the dnvr.com to read that thing. And I do go into a pretty hefty blueprint of what I think the Rockies should do. And I didn't pull too many punches on what the issues are. For those of you that think I haven't been critical enough of the organization, I highly recommend you check out that piece. I'd be curious to see what you think of that one. And maybe read it while you're throwing back a nice Breck brew. I got the Strawberry Sky here today. Drank the Avalanche Amber while watching the end of this Nuggets game. They sadly and very disappointingly have gone down in the Western Conference Finals to... say their names, the team from California or whatever, you know, who that they always lose to when their season comes to an end.
They're down 4-1. That's where they want to be, baby. What? Come on. Dude, don't be negative now.
They want them.
Exactly.
They want them. What a fun team. What a fantastic team that did. And you know, there are a lot of parallels there, except for the part where the front office for the Nuggets nailed their key decisions after rightfully, slowly, patiently, and through a lot of negative press, building their core from within through the draft with young guys who a lot of people didn't believe in, including Nikola Jokic, who was taken in the, like, 30th round equivalent, because he was taken in the second round of the NBA draft. Near the end of the second round of the NBA draft is equivalent to a 15th round guy in Major League Baseball. Like, that's you're taking a Hail Mary on somebody like that. And, you know, they built the team up the right way, but then they went out and made all the right key moves, bringing in a coach like Mike Malone, getting Jeremy Grant, who's been a huge piece for this team. And that's like exactly what the Rockies hoped, that bullpen pieces like Brian Shaw or Jake McGee or a guy like Ian Desmond could be for this team. And they just weren't. They just were not that. And it was bad and it didn't work out. And now they've got a chance to try it all over again. And it'll be really interesting to see which way they go. But Patrick, tough end for the Nuggets there, but I think still showing kind of a model that the Rockies can follow, even though it's a totally different sport, that they don't need to totally reinvent the wheel or go a completely different direction from what they've done, but they've got to be smarter and they've got to hit on those moves.
Yeah, there's nothing sexy about playing basketball in Denver. For lack of a better way of phrasing it.
They have so many of the same problems the Rockies do.
That's right.
You can't get the dude to come here. So build, totally, totally right.
Yeah, it's strange how at one point this year, I guess that would have been in, you know, late June, where I wrote an article about how it was just a great time to be a fan in Colorado, or a proud time. You have Ian Desmond taking his stance, a social stance, to sit out. You had, you know, the Nuggets and Avalanche as two really young teams. They still are, and they still have, you know, such great potential to win their respective championships in the next, I think, even, you know, two seasons. I think it goes beyond that. I think the Rockies still playoffs two out of the last three seasons. There are so many. Larry Walker being in the Hall of Fame. There was a lot. I'm not even hitting on all of it. And yet here now, a few 3 months later, and you've got the Rockies season ends on Friday. The Nuggets season ends on Saturday. If the Buccaneers can take it to the Broncos, maybe the Broncos season ends on Sunday. We're knocked out a couple
the
weeks ago.
Season ended the second Drew Lock went down and didn't come back. But yeah, it's been totally, dude. It's been brutal.
It's a little wild, but again, there is a lot of hope. There is a lot of promise. NHL draft. I know our guy's going to be doing an amazing job. AJ and Rudo, they're going to be bringing you some great draft coverage. I know, you know, the NBA draft will be right around the corner as well too. I don't know if they've set the date for that. I imagine they have. The season will be starting up 5 minutes after the draft.
Like their seasons just start now. Like, it's so bizarre. Everything.
And before we know it, all the excitement and Major League playoffs is going to go down in the month of October, and boom, we're going to enter the hot stove season.
All right, two things for you, because hot stove season, baby. I'm so excited because straight up, like, this is the most excited I've ever been to talk about a Rockies off season. So we've still got to like temper ourselves a little bit. We're going to get there. But we got, before that, the actual postseason, we got to do some betting, first of all. We got to get on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. We got to figure out which one of these teams we got to bet on. We got to do two different things here. We got to go with our heart. We got to go with our brain. We'll talk about our heart in a minute. Our brain, who we think is going to win this thing, Patrick. We got to figure out who our pick is to win the whole dang thing. Luckily, we've got a little bit of time because the specials on that, I assume, are going to be out next week. From the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Right now, you want to be a new user. You want to sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You want to get your football knowledge to put a little extra money in your pocket. Then what you do is use that code DNVR, and you get a sign-up bonus where you pick one team, any team, to win themselves a football game, and you win yourself $100 just for putting in $1. That is an extraordinary odd situation for you out there, folks. You definitely want to get in on that. Just pick any team. And actually, you can do pretty much basically the same thing. Again, if you understand how it works with UFC, if you're not a football person, check out the offer with the UFC. It's basically the equivalent. Really great stuff there. They're helping you out. They're always helping you out. You start throwing just a couple of little $5, $10 bets here, there at someone you think is going to get a strikeout record or someone you think is going to win a baseball game, whatever it may be. And then you find, oh, hey, I woke up today. I've got an extra $5, $10 I can throw wherever I like, just at whatever I want out there in the world of sports. And if I win big, do I have to give any of it back? Do I have to pay DraftKings for the free money they gave me? Nope. I get to put it right into my bank account. I get to do the thing. And yes, Jake, 10-game parlays, if you can work them out, I cannot recommend. Neither can you, obviously, if you know what it's
only 10-game parlays. Apparently, you're not very confident in your abilities.
Ride it, baby. I mean, you can if they throw you a free $5 and you can roll it into a 10-game parlay that hits, rock and roll. I mean, it's not
DNVR bets. If you're listening to, I almost said our sister podcast.
Why not?
I mean, yeah, they are. I mean, ultimately, DNVR bets. They're gonna have those parlays for you. And incidentally, I did some following up. You when making that $1 NFL pick, you cannot put it on the Oilers. So Drew, we've been slightly misinforming. Yeah. Some of our listeners also, I learned the hard way, the Argonauts. Nope. You cannot put that $1 bet on the Toronto Argonauts.
Jason has been phenomenal all season. So yep. That's That's brutal. That's killing me. But
it's an update. So
I'll find another place to put my $1 to win $100 using that DNVR promo code over at the DraftKings Sportsbook for a limited time. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700. And Patrick, as we near, and I mean, if you look, hey, if you want to throw a couple of thoughts about the game out there, I did very little in the game yesterday. Hey, the Rockies won 10-3, as we said. Home run from Diaz, draft king of the game, Elias Diaz with the game swinging home run. I could have given it to Germán Márquez, Don Germán, could have gone that way. But it basically a toss up between those two. And again, you got to use that promo code, draft king of the game. Looks like we're going with Germán. Got to go with Germán. I mean, I guess the seventh inning especially too.
Zero earned runs was the key there. He actually were earned.
I keep forgetting about the errors because I try to erase terrible defense from my mind because it offends my every sensibility. But you're right. We got to go. You got to go Don Germán. You got to give the king his due.
Marquis Del Rey was fantastic. Yeah, some of the other interesting takeaways, you know, I tweeted about it that since Josh Fuentes kind of was called up from Metro State, yes, that's a thing if you're just tuning in now. jumping in, you know, on the penultimate game of the season, and you're like, wait, someone got called up, a Roadrunner? That's where they're practicing at, is Metro State University. Since he got called up on August 25th, tied for the team lead with six doubles with Nolan Arenado and Trevor Story. Tied for, at one point in the game, 14 runs scored. Tied with Story, Pilar, Tapia, Raimel Tapia with a nice three-hit performance, now leads the team with a 317 average. Yes. Wow. Two more hits for Trevor Story, including his 15th stolen base. So he should finish the season tops in the National League in stolen bases. And Ryan McMahon, in a lot of ways, coming back. We saw last night he kind of got started on that path with a double and a couple of hits last night. Another one today with an RBI, two RBI, excuse me. So, you know, promising there for him because he's been a disappointment for the whole season. So, again, there are those not storylines, but there are positives to take away from the end of this season. Number one being the fact that I can finally now wear this shirt, Colorado Rakes, because I was waiting for them to taco another team. And the past couple of weeks, they've been tacoed.
They've been tacoed. They hadn't been doing too much tacoing.
I had to count it up. So the Rockies have tacoed 18 times, and they've gotten tacoed also 18 times. So it's an 18-18 in the taco category. Incidentally, can you use it as a verb? I think I may have just trademarked that.
I think we have, yeah. They've tacoed. I believe we just did. So
done.
It is. They've been tacoed, and they have tacoed. That I would have thought that ratio would have been off a little bit more. So
I thought there would have been a couple more taco wings come down upon them, but right. Alas, it is a even taco.
An even taco. There it is. All right. And on that note, I do want to give you the opportunity then to share a few of your thoughts on the kind of finality of the season. We know there's another game to play, and those of you who took the over on the DraftKings preseason for the Rockies will be tuning in tomorrow with a great deal of interest and anticipation and need for them to play a good game because they got to win that one to hit that over on their preseason projections. Beyond that, not much meaning in that final game. As you mentioned, you know, I wrote the article earlier today. I hope everyone can go and check that out. I gave my thoughts on the last podcast, so I wanted to sort of give you the floor here to give your sort of end of the season Rockies thoughts, analysis, address, opinions, questions, comments, philosophical panderings.
Well, without getting into too much detail, I will say that it's now maybe not a season and a half, but very well close to it. And we know, hey, this is the quest for the asterisk. And even if you come in last place in that quest, there is an asterisk next to the fact that you came in last place. Either way you want to look at it, there's an asterisk everywhere. But I don't think you could put an asterisk next to the fact that it has now been a year and a half since the Rockies have been a very good ball club after those consecutive playoff appearances. You now have a situation where two of your top players in John Gray and Trevor Story are free agents after this season. You do have, obviously, Nolan Arenado as a potential opt-out candidate. I'm not quite as worried about that, but that is obviously a factor.
It's a thing. You can't, right. You can't just ignore it.
There are one of the players that was going to be a free agent after the 2021 season, the Rockies locked up, and that was Scott Oberg, who you have nothing but questions about. David Dahl, after an all-star season in 2019, you have a lot of questions about. Tony Walters, who was a guy that you had questions about last year, you have even more questions about. So this is a quest for the questions, I guess. We're searching the quest for the answers. We really should call this offseason is the quest for the answers, because there are a lot of questions about the on-the-field talent of the Colorado Rockies. There are rightfully questions about the coaches within the dugout, many of which have great pedigrees, many of which have done some amazing things in the game. But right now, there are questions that linger. There are questions about the front office, and I think you can even go so far as to say as there are questions about the ownership of this team right now. So a lot to be unpacked this off season. And yes, if anyone's going to do it, it's you and me, baby.
That's right. We're going to be here for all of it. And I think what we're going to have to do, Patrick, and this is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about it, is because we are going to be able to get very granular. We're going to be able to go detail by detail, position by position, player by player, everyone who's currently on the roster, and tell you where does this guy fit, if he fits at all. Should the Rockies consider dealing him, cutting him, benching him, outside of the core players you sort of know, right? And then going through every free agent, every trade candidate, every maybe even potential hitting coach, pitching coach, if not coaches, gurus, analytics people, and maybe even managers and general managers. I've said many times, I don't think Bud Black's going anywhere. And a little bit lower than that, I doubt Jeff Breidich is going anywhere. But that doesn't mean that we can't consider who would be better options for the Colorado Rockies in the meantime, or who could come in as a potential team president and guide this team to a new future. And I think one of the things that I wrote today in that article, Patrick, that I just want to reverberate, because I know there's so much fatalism around the Colorado Rockies right now, and I understand that. There's so much, they suck and they're always going to suck, and this sucks and it sucks. And like, I feel you.
People are struggling. People are struggling with their fandom for sure.
I hear you, Brendan. But right now, I believe, as somebody who has followed this team and researched them as closely as anybody for the entirety of their existence, though I was a small child, so I've got to tip my cap to guys like Harding and Saunders and Ringlesby, who maybe were adults during some of that time. But beyond those guys, somebody who's really followed this team, I believe two things very, very deeply. One, everything is on the table. All of it. New team president, new GM, new manager, no Nolan, yes Nolan, no Trevor, yes Trevor, no, down the line. All of it's on the table. And number two, nobody, not you, not me, not Dick Monfort, not Jeff Breidich, not Bud Black. Nobody right now here today on September 26th knows what happens next with this team. Nobody knows exactly what this roster is going to look like. And boy, it's going to be fun digging through what it should look like and then comparing that to what it actually does look like.
That pretty much encapsulates the Colorado Rockies offseason, because I agree. And I think this is what you're saying in a roundabout way, but Dick Monfort and Jeff Breidich don't know what's going to happen this offseason. And that's a problem. That is a major problem. They can make a choice, but they don't know what's going to happen going forward.
I mean, that's a way to phrase it, but certainty one way or the other will end up making a fool of just about anybody in this game.
You're certain of that.
and of that I am certain.
I'll say this, the one person, and maybe this just brings a little bit of levity to the whole situation, the one guy who was missing during much of this season and is not getting any criticism and will be back next year and the year after that and the year after that, and the guy we can all agree upon, and maybe I shouldn't be saying guy, but is Dinger. Dinger, his job, its job, that job is safe. I didn't see Dinger waving that big banner after a W at all this season at Coors Field. Not once. Talk about, you know, absence, and talk about maybe not earning their contract. But Dinger will be back.
Negative mar on Dinger.
It's Wham. It's Wham. It's Wings Above Mascot. It's Wham. Or it's Waves. It's Waves Warm. Above.
Warm. No, it's Warm. Worm. Warm.
It's war win. Waves after Rockies win, right? How many waves do you have after? We're getting off the rails again.
Almost none of them. Almost. Hey, look, folks. We've got one little loud clap. I hope that worked out well in your earbuds. Hey, we've got one last Rockies game to watch, and we're going to watch it because we only got 60 of them this year. After a 10-month offseason, we're going to have another offseason, and you know what? While I presume that the season will begin in 2021 on a more normal schedule and we'll get 162 games, if 2020 has taught us anything, it's that you don't freaking know. And so let's appreciate tomorrow's baseball game.
Yeah.
Because we know it will be played, and that's all that we know for sure.
It will be played tomorrow.
Right.
They play in a domed stadium. So, I mean, like, it doesn't matter what happens with the weather. Unless there's a haboob and they're not able to close. Are you familiar with haboobs?
No, that was a new one for me. I was going to play it off like I did, but now that you put me on the spot, okay. I've got no idea.
They're just like these, like, monstrous dust clouds. Just a real thing. Like, it's bad. Haboob. Yes, it's spelled exactly as you would think it would be. Haboob. Look it up. Yes. So, unless there's a haboob cancellation.
Search when I Google, or
yeah.
It'll be all right. Yeah. All right. Well, as we, I hope, have proven here, we're going to continue to have fun here. We're going to have a whole lot of fun going through the offseason. Oh, here's the other thing, Patrick, I wanted to throw at you for our. Because we did our – well, we haven't actually said our DraftKings sports bet for the World Series. We'll give you that tomorrow, you greedy animals. Goodness, what is wrong with you? Now we got Will typing stuff. Hopefully we don't
get – inappropriate. Will, not cool. We're going to have to boot you out with that language.
Who would even say – it is. He's with you. It's totally a dust storm, he says. Yeah, sure.
It's the only thing I know about science in the world. That's it.
That's the
I am not
thing.
A scientist. Yes.
So we don't have our brain vote yet for World Series to tell you where to put your money. We are not yet ready for that. But I've got my heart vote. I've got my team I want to follow for this postseason. So they're going to get knocked out in the first round because I think they're an 8-seed or a 7-seed or something like that too.
And it's the San Diego Padres, right? You are all – you've been all about the Padres this whole season, especially the offseason.
Huge Padres guy. huge Padres guy. Let the record show. I've never once doubted that team. What do you think about the Toronto Blue Jays?
The Toronto Blue Jays of Buffalo are definitely
an interesting squad. How can you not pull for a team? It's got no home.
Hyunjin Ryu, you're okay with rooting for him now? I mean, I guess so.
Not a Dodger anymore. I've always kind of, honestly.
Still wearing blue.
That's true. I do like the 90s throwback vibe of the whole team. I've always liked the fact that they're all kids of players I liked growing up. Even though I was never the biggest Greg Biggio fan, whatever. Respect. Like, I didn't hate him. He just wasn't my guy, you know.
Who was your favorite closer of the Cincinnati Reds in the 90s? Was it Jeff Shaw? Father of Travis Shaw? Then yes. All of your favorite players in the 90s have a child on this team, including Dante Bichette. Yes, if you haven't heard, Bo Bichette. So if you're looking for Rockies connections, Bo Bichette is a guy to root for.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. is great.
Yankees have a couple of former Rockies players.
Look, we could go that route if we want to be those guys. If we want to be those people.
No, that's no fun.
You know what? I started looking at this. I'm going to look, whatever, it's late. Who's listening? Is this on the podcast still? Hi, you downloaded this. I was looking at DJ LeMahieu's home runs in New York. I'm going to have to write an article. I think maybe 40% of them would be home runs at Coors Field.
Mm. Yeah, good possibility.
It's just a thing I noticed. Love DJ, though. There's absolutely no reason. I mean, there are zero reasons. I mean, literally, there are no reasons. That was my Alice's restaurant version for you. To root against DJ LeMahieu. None. So you might as well. Like, I can't root for the Yankees.
No. Yeah, anyone who roots for the Yankees should probably say to themselves, where is my mind? From your favorite film, Fight Club. Yes. Hey, Paul, let's have a ball. Gigantic. Yes. Pixies fan? Are you a Pixies fan, Drew?
I just know the one song. Straight up, I'm not even going to be a pretender. I should know more. I just know the one song.
You're not a big Francis Black, a.k.a. Black Francis fan?
No.
And Breeders? Have you ever gotten into the Breeders?
The only reason I know these references is because they've been thrown at me after shows that I've done where people are like, oh, you kind of remind me of. And I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Cannonball is one of the top songs of the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Cannonball I'm into. What else we got? I'm going to say, start naming them. there are a few, but. That's like an area I should be better at that, like, I know lacks in my musical repertoire that I'm just like.
Put on some Pixies in the background, read some Chuck Palahniuk, and you'll kill two birds with one stone.
I've read three or four Chuck Palahniuk books. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm that guy who should have listened to several Pixies.
What is your favorite Chuck Palahniuk book? It's better to say Fight Club. It's your favorite movie.
Because Fight Club is better as a movie. And it legitimately is. I think Choke or Monster. Probably Monster. Very because nice. It was so damn weird. And I'm a huge, like, if you started to get a collection of my favorite stuff, movies, TV shows, video games, you'd start to find a collection of very weird, what a lot of people might call mind F's or psychobabble or philosophical, like, yeah, the weirder it is, the more I'm going to be into it. The more it tries to mess with its audience too. I'm always a fan of art that really messes with you. Yeah.
Survivor. You ever read Survivor? That's Chuck Palahniuk's first.
I didn't read that one.
The fiction. No. Very good companion piece to Fight Club. Very good companion piece. Haunted is probably my favorite of his books. That's pretty twisted. Everything that came after Rant, I mean, has a much longer name than that, but Rant is okay. I kind of, that's when I tapped out of Chuck Palahniuk. I think once you hit 30 years old, you're like, oh, that was fun. It's fun reading Chuck Palahniuk in your 20s.
Yeah.
Kind of. It's like that in Bukowski. Like, you're like, all right, that was fun. That was fun to romanticize being a drunkard, barfly who's old and decrepit and whatnot. Also, Dostoevsky, based on some of the comments.
And on that note,
Fathers and Sons by Turgenev. You gotta read some of the classics, my man.
All true. All 100% true.
I'm a big Dostoevsky fan.
So you can, fair enough.
Anton Chekhov also. His short stories, more than anything.
More
short
Chekhovsky.
Stories of Chekhov. More what?
Tchaikovsky.
Tchaikovsky? The ballet dancer?
The ballet, yeah. Tchaikovsky.
Oh, no, wait, no. Nutcracker. Not a ballet. Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Nutcracker. Sweet. I feel like that's a Bill and Ted's joke there.
On the absolute worst place. You can join us for Patrick and Drew Interpret the Classics on tomorrow's edition of the DNVR Rockies podcast.
We needed to balance it based off of our conversation about 90s cartoons. That wasn't bad. We did a little literature segment.
That's right. It's usually pro wrestling and 90s cartoons, but we did a little bit of authorship on this eve. Hey, thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. We really do appreciate you. It's been a weird and mostly terrible season for the Colorado Rockies. We're going to be back at it every day through the postseason, through the offseason, maybe not every day, but most of the day. So hang out with us. Make sure you're following on social media at Drew Kreisman, at Patrick D. Lyons, at DNVR_Rockies. You give us a subscribe at the DNVR.com so you don't miss out on any of that written content. Plus, you get discounts on shirts, hats, masks. You get a bigger bar when you come down to the beer, a Breckenridge bar when you come down to the beer. And it's a whole lot of fun just to be a part of this community. We really do appreciate it. I saw somebody mention that they resubscribed so they could read my article today and sent me a little piece about how it feels like coming back home and reuniting with members of the family. And the only thing I could think of, and I had to reply because it went straight to my mind, because again, I'm a product of this era, was of course Dom, Vin Diesel himself from Fast and Furious, whichever one. I think the first one. I don't have a friend. Got family.
Beautiful. Not as beautiful as his new single, but
I'm gonna have to give that a listen.
Yes, Vin Diesel released a single.
So to all of our family out there, we hope that you will continue to be absolutely awesome. We will continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.